Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, open up with me to Psalm chapter 12, and that's where we will begin in just a moment. As we well know, today is Father's Day, so I want to start out with some Father's Day information that might help you know how in the world did we get here. Over a century ago, the idea of Father's Day was conceived after seeing the success of Mother's Day. So does that make the dads an afterthought? I'm not real sure how that all works, but. And it doesn't get any better. It took until 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson issued a proclamation setting aside the third Sunday in June to honor fathers. Father's Day has been celebrated annually since 1972 when President Richard Nixon signed a law making it a permanent national holiday. So it's relatively a new holiday, considering all the other holidays. It is, though, gaining in its estimation. We are still under Mother's Day, but only a notch. There used to be a bigger gap between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Now we are just the next rung of the ladder down. We're climbing, guys. We're climbing. Give us a few more years, and we just might surpass Mother's Day. There are an estimated 72 million fathers across the nation. 29 million of those fathers are also grandfathers. Last year, according to the National Retail Federation, the average amount spent on Dear Old Dad was $196.23. What was the most common gift? Clothing. 55% of dads are going to get something new to wear for Father's Day. $2.8 billion was spent last year on gift cards. Wow. You know, with dads rising the ladder of holidays, with the amount of spending increasing on dads for Father's Day, with the prominence of fatherhood seeming to make some great advances, you would think throughout society that society would want to do everything possible to herald good old dad, right? But that's not the way it works. Most sitcoms portray dads as guys who work, drink a beer after work, they come home to sit on the couch while the wife tries to get him involved, tries to push him to go mow the lawn, to clean the garage, and a host of other things. That's how the average dad is going to be portrayed in society from our television screens. In 2020, a study done by Erica Scharr, she is the professor of communication at the University of Massachusetts, she looked at 34 top-rated sitcoms that aired from 1980 until 2017, and she found that dad disparagement humor had increased over time. Back in 1980, when she started this, the humor disparaging dad was in about 18% of the scenes. Today, just over 50% of the scenes are disparaging to fathers and to fatherhood. In an article written by author Christopher Miller, he concludes with this simple thought: this Father's Day, there's one thing that you can get Dad that he may not already have. Respect. I thought that's pretty good. That is pretty good. Today we are going to celebrate dads in the sermon. We are going to encourage our dads. We are going to show them their scriptural value and their importance. We are not going to beat up on Dad this morning. Moms, I didn't beat up on you on Mother's Day, did I? So I'm not going to let good old Dad have it today. And you know, there's a lot of times I think that's what happens in churches. It's our opportunity. We got all these dads present. Let's nail them. Well, happy Father's Day to you too, right? I would rather us look at what the Scripture has to say about the value and the importance of a good dad. And throughout our auditorium this morning, there are many, many men that are excellent fathers. And you are being watched, you are being recognized, and it is with gratitude and respect that I say that to you this morning. So in Psalm chapter 12, and you're going to say, well, this verse sure isn't saying that. Well, give me a minute. Let me set this up. Psalm chapter 12, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. This morning, let's start out and show our gratitude and our respect for godly dads. We don't know exactly what is going on at the time that David writes this, but he looks with a sadness across the congregation of the people. And he says there is a lack. There is something missing. This godly, faithful man is missing. And as I say this morning, I am very thankful. And we need to show gratitude and respect for the godly fathers that we have here. The godly fathers that you have that maybe aren't here today. Maybe they live elsewhere. You've moved away from moms and dads. And you know a godly father lives someplace else. We need to be thanking the Lord for that. That makes us show them respect, and we should have respect and gratitude for them. What makes a godly father? Is it just the things that they do? Well, if you're hoping that it's just the things that they do, it is far more than that. It's who they know. Because you cannot be a godly father until you know God the Father personally. And the only way to know God the Father personally is through Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus in no uncertain terms, he said, you must be born again. Not you should, I hope that you'll think about this. He says you must be born again. There is no way to enter into the kingdom of heaven but through Jesus Christ. Many years ago when I did a funeral for a father, young father, just in the community. I don't even remember who it was, to be honest with you. It's been so long ago. But it was very obvious that this was a dad that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And it was a family that by and large didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So as I am there for the visitation and I'm watching the events that happen, and especially the day of the funeral service, just before they closed the casket, the family came up to the casket one last time. And the daughter, she was a teenage girl. And I can remember as vividly as if it was yesterday, she hung over that casket and grabbed hold of her dad's corpse and cried and sobbed and wept and kept saying, oh, Dad, oh, Dad, oh, Dad. And just begging to see him again. She wanted him to raise up out of that casket and to be alive. And she sorrowed as those who have no hope. We were here for a funeral yesterday, and we watched those who sorrowed, but not like those who have no hope. There's a huge difference. When the deceased knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when the deceased was a godly individual, yes, we sorrow because we feel the pain of that loss from the human perspective, but there is no spiritual pain. Because we know that that loved one is with Jesus. We know that they gave their life to Christ. They lived the godly life that gave testimony that it was real. And we know we're going to get to see them again. But when the individual doesn't know Christ as Savior, what a heartbreak. And people say, well, what do you do to give them hope? What do you say to them? Well, you sure don't tell them you know where their loved one's at. I mean, what good would that do? You say, well, you got to tell them the truth. If you ever do something like that, somebody ought to deck you. I mean, just lay you out flat for being stupid. Instead, you get into the funeral message and you preach a message of hope. And the message of hope is Jesus. Every funeral message that is ever preached is not for the deceased. It is for the living. And so every living person that's there needs to hear this part of this message right here, and the part of the message that I always share, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear that it is Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Because, and I know this is really, really depressing way to start a Father's Day message. This is encouraging because if you are sitting here this morning and you have a dad, and that dad has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that is something for you to have gratitude and respect for. That they gave their life to Him. Because as much as it pains us to admit it, the way it normally works is the children outlive their parents. And the children are going to have to be the ones someday that are going to make all the funeral arrangements for a parent and are going to have to be there at a funeral service knowing that their parent has deceased. And how that child faces that day has an awful lot to do, dads, with what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that you know Jesus as your Savior? Because you cannot be a godly man until you know God the Father personally. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, that is something to rejoice in. Here's the second thing we need to consider this morning. Not only do we need to have gratitude and respect for our dads that are saved, but we need to have gratitude and respect for trained dads. Trained dads. The wives are sitting here saying, I'm doing my best. No, I'm not saying by the ladies. Ladies, you got no part in this, all right? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we know that that doesn't mean the male gender. All right? Does that mean that women who study God's Word are not going to be perfect and thoroughly first? No. We know that. We understand that it applies to men and women. But since it's Father's Day, we're going to make it apply to men. And ladies, you can feel free to make application. All right? How do you get trained? You get trained by being in the Word of God. And there is absolutely no substitute for that. If there is a dad, a grandfather in your life that loves and hungers for the Word of God, that is something to show gratitude and respect for. Because that isn't the case for all men. But it is the case for God's man. As a kid, I remember, and I share this probably every Father's Day, but I do. I remember my dad's Bible, always open at the end of the table. And he was always in his Bible. Whenever he had an opportunity, Dad was in his Bible. And he had books and stuff that Dad would read, and not just lightweight stuff. He was reading some pretty heavyweight theological books and just wanting to gain as much knowledge as he possibly could about the Lord and His Word. As Dad's Parkinson's got worse and worse, Dad's hands, he couldn't hold his Bible because he shook and it affected his vision and he couldn't read it anymore just because everything was just emotion. It didn't work. And so we got Dad a music stand. In fact, that music stand right there, and set it up beside his bed and got him a large print Bible and set the large print Bible there, and all he had to do was sit on the edge of his bed and he could turn a page with a finger and he could still read his Bible. And that is the memory that I have, that my dad was a man that was trained by the Word of God. That is an image that I cannot get out of my head, and I don't want that image ever to go out of my head. And it's an image that every one of our children ought to be able to have of their dads, that he is a trained man, trained by the Word of God. These are dads that are going to be growing. Was my dad perfect? No. Is your dad perfect? No. Are you a perfect dad? I didn't think you'd have to think that hard about it. No. Am I a perfect dad? No. But can it be said that we are getting better? That every day that we are getting better. Why would we be getting better? Because we're getting trained every day. And the more training that you get, the better you ought to get. And so it is a blessing, and it is a thing to have gratitude and respect for the dad who is trained in the Word of God. Now, if you've got that dad that is trained in the Word of God, let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 18. Back to Genesis chapter 18, these godly dads, these trained dads, are going to be training dads. In Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. That trained godly dad is going to train up his household. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. As you turn to Psalm 78, dads, one of the privileges that we have as dads, we are legacy builders. We are training the next generation of believers, getting them ready for the day when we leave this earth and a next generation needs to step up to the plate and fill those roles and positions that we held. We are training that generation. The psalmist said in Psalm 78, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Gratitude and respect goes out to the dads who train their kids to be godly kids. Gratitude and respect. You got to respect that. Dads, the National Fatherhood Initiative gave an interesting report on something. They said children with fathers who regularly attend church services are more likely, it's not a guarantee, more likely to participate in religious activities themselves. This underscores the importance of fathers as spiritual role models and leaders within their families. We hear a lot today about heroes and superheroes. First of all, heroes. A lot of them that are declared to be heroes aren't. And superheroes, they're all fictional. Every one of them. There's nothing real about them. Dads who train their children, those are the real heroes. Those are the real heroes who will train their children in the ways and the things of the Lord. That is a real hero that should be held up as an example. In fact, it's not just enough to train the right way. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs, chapter 20. It's not enough just to train, to tell them what to do. In Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. He is walking in integrity, and his children are blessed walking after him. Why is that? Because he has set an example. He has set a pattern. He has laid down footsteps that those children are able to walk in. And if they walk in those steps, they know they will be steps of integrity. They know those will be steps that will protect them, that will keep them going the right direction. And so that dad who is the godly dad, who is the training dad, isn't just telling you what to do. He's living it. You equip more by example than you do by explanation. You equip more by example than you do by explanation. Be the template rather than just talking. Why? Because your children are going to learn more from what you do than what you say. I don't know what's in the rooms of our kids, what's hanging on your walls, if you got posters hanging up or anything like that. But a lot of times, and especially in a boy's room, I don't know what girl hangs up in theirs. But in a guy's room, you got a picture of some athlete, you know, some athletic superstar. Can I suggest you take them down? What has that athlete ever done for you? What will they ever do for you besides take your money if you go buy any of their stuff or go see their games? What will they do for you? Nothing. What are the chances that you're ever going to achieve athletically what they've achieved? Just about zero. Just about zero. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just reality, folks. It is a fact. How many people will ever achieve those levels? It's an infinitesimally small number. But how many of you could achieve the godly example, the godly life, and even surpass it of your father and grandfather? What's the chances of that? Chances of that are exceptionally big. They're huge. There's great possibility. You want to put a picture up in your room? Put a picture up of good old dad. Big poster. Walmart makes them, I think. Get y'all big one. Get one of the goofiest faces he's ever made. Get a nice, serious, churchy picture, you know. That way you can see both sides of this dad. Put them big old things up there. Why? Because if anybody is going to be your hero in life, it ought to be your dad. And there's an awful lot of dads here that we can look to with gratitude and respect for being a hero. Again, not perfect. So if the kids are sitting here and going, hey, you don't know my dad. Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you flat out, he is not perfect. He is a man. He is flesh and blood. But we've got an awful lot of good dads. And praise God for them. Not only do we have these truths about dads are also warrior dads. The warrior dad. We've got to show gratitude and respect for our warrior dads. The United States military is made up of about 1.3 million active duty servicemen and women. 17.3% or 224,900 are women, meaning 1,075,100 of our United States military are men. And of the 1,075,000 men, 593,000 are dads. Over half of our servicemen are dads. We are grateful for the dads who, through the years, sacrificed those years with their families, with their children. The dads that were in the military, many of those dads missed out on some crucial events they will never get back because they were serving our country. They were keeping everybody else's life safe wherever they were deployed. But because they had to serve a nation, a greater need, they missed out on some of the most precious times that were theirs to enjoy. They missed out on the first steps. They missed out on the first words. They missed out on they did miss out on diaper changing, so that's probably not a negative. But, they missed out on sticking that first spoonful of yucky food in the mouth and it coming back out and you wearing it. They missed all those neat little things in order to serve us. Do we not look at those servicemen with gratitude and respect? Do we not honor them and acknowledge that they sacrificed more than their years, more than the time, more than their physical bodies? Their families experienced a sacrifice as well. We are grateful for the dads who through the years have been spiritually a warrior dad. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Verses 3 through 5. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When you think through the analogy and the cross analogy, how do children equate to a warrior's quiver full of arrows and now I can speak to the enemy in the gate, out here in public? How do you do that? And how does that analogy mesh? And I never really thought about it. How many times do you read something in the scripture and you go, oh, okay. And you just kind of move on to the next thing. And you don't really think about all of how does that work? Adrian Rogers wrote the following. I thought this is pretty good. He says, God says fathers are to be like warriors and their children are like arrows to be shot at the enemy. But an arrow is no more effective than the warrior who shoots it. It is crucial that dad shoot straight. My responsibility as a dad is to shape, sharpen, and shoot those arrows at the enemy. Second, our arrows must be straight. Because children are not born as straight arrows, it's our job to shape them. Finally, our aim must be sure. As Christians, we must have a goal, an aim, a desire before we release our arrows. Arrows are not to be collected, they are to be projected. Warrior dads are fighting the good fight of faith. But warrior dads are also preparing the next arrows to fight the good fight of faith. And therefore, warrior dads can be in the enemy's territory. They can be talking to the enemy because they got a quiver full of arrows. The enemy is saying, "You're going to be dead soon." And the warrior says, "I got a quiver full." It is to continue. Isn't that neat? That's what God wanted. Now, looking at that, let's think about the wood that you use to make anything. For those of you that have ever done any kind of woodworking, you know that there are some how easily boards will warp, and some boards will just come out warped, and trying to get some board straightened is an impossibility. It works that way. Do you ever stop to think that you can be a warrior dad, and you've tried to shape that arrow, and you've done all the right things, but that wood has a bent to be warped, and try as hard as you might, you're not going to get that thing straightened out. You ever thought about that? Well, think about it this way. Doesn't the Heavenly Father have a lot of warped arrows? You want to know one of the worst warped arrows the Scripture records is a guy by the name of Lot. How many times have we read in 1st or 2nd Peter where the Bible describes Lot as just Lot? And we're thinking, Lot, just, Lot in heaven, Lot right with God? We all remember who Lot was, right? Can we name anything good about him? Can we name anything good that he did? Lot goes down in history as having fought with Abraham over land. He goes down in history as pitching his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes down in history as the person that we see in Sodom and Gomorrah sitting at the gate as one of the leaders. We see him in Sodom and Gomorrah as an individual who is guilty of incest or after getting out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, just Lot. That was a warped arrow. That was a warped arrow. So that takes me to the final point. Loving dads. Loving dads. We know that the Heavenly Father lavishes His love on us. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 15. We know the Heavenly Father lavishes His love on us. I don't believe that the Lord loves one child more than the other. He may love us differently, but He loves us equally. Luke chapter 15, we have a story, a very familiar story about the prodigal son. And maybe as we close out this morning, your Father's Day is a little bit tainted, a little bit discouraging because you did your best to straighten out an arrow or arrows, and they haven't straightened out yet. And you're wondering, will they ever? And truthfully, can't give you an answer to that. Can I give you an answer to that? But I can point you to this story. It says in Luke 15, verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled the belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And we know how the story unfolds. The dad didn't cast him away, but the dad showered love on him. As we look at this story, there's several things that we need to bring out that I think are important. First of all, I believe that the prodigal son's father's heart was broken. It had to be broken over this child. We are left to assume that the dad did the right things in raising this kid. He did the right things. Becoming a prodigal was the child's choice. It wasn't the parent's choice. And maybe today you've got a prodigal. And you say, I did the right things. Again, were we perfect? No. But you know you did the right things. Why'd they go this route? Because they chose it. They have free will. And they chose to ignore the instructions and the teachings and everything else. Notice that the dad did not chase the prodigal when the prodigal ran off. Notice that dad did not beg the prodigal, try to send letters to him and things like that to tell him, hey, you can come home. We love you. Get on home. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He didn't beg him. Dad didn't try to manage the poor son's or the son's poor financial expenditures. Try to tell his son, hey, son, I hear how you're spending this money. It's not going to last. You keep spending it like that. It's going to all run out. Didn't do that. Instead, the dad did the hardest thing love can do. The dad backed off and let the consequences fall where they may. What else could he do? A rich son became poor. A proud son had to become broken. A full son had to become empty. A son who once ate at lavish tables and had all of his needs met had to become a son that is eating slop with the hogs. A son who knew it all needed to bottom out and acknowledge that he knows nothing. A runaway son is now a coming home son. And a dad is waiting and watching and ready to receive him home. The dad had already provided forgiveness from the heart. Reconciliation could not take place until the child came home and repented. That's what it took for reconciliation. Forgiveness was already there. There is not a thing in the passages of Scripture that suggests that when this son came back and says, you know, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, just make me a servant. The dad, there's no verse in between where the dad says, yeah, you were a heartbreak. You were a mess. You were a train wreck. Let's revisit all the things you did wrong. Let's talk about all the messes you made. The child comes back and repents. Repented before heaven. Got things right with God. Repents before dad. Gets right things right with family. And now that forgiveness which had been available all along, reconciliation can take place. Did the dad ever stop loving the prodigal? No. Does God ever stop loving us when he releases us to our own devices and lets us go ahead and make a mess of things? No. When your child is pig-headed and wants to do things their way and finally you just say, okay. Do you love them less when you let them fall off their bike and smash their face on the ground or do something else stupid? Do you love them less? No. But you're there to welcome them home. And with gratitude and respect to the dads who love their kids enough to tough love them when necessary. Hard thing to do, but a thing that has to be done. This morning, dads, moms, kids, as we've looked through these points, the things we've seen today, are you living godly? Are you living the godly life you ought to? Are you getting trained? Are you sharing that training with others? Are you a prayer warrior? Are you somebody that fights the good fight of faith? Are you loving? Maybe the Lord is dealing with you in some area with that, and this needs to be a day that you get things right with the Lord and get things settled. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and you say, well, God loves me anyway. You're right. God does love you, sinner. Absolutely, He loves you. He loves you so much that He died on a cross for your sins. You say, well, God has forgiveness for me. You're absolutely right. So far, you got two questions right. He absolutely wants to forgive you and has forgiveness available to you. You say, well, then I'm already loved and forgiven. Oh, no, there you got it wrong. Because you can't experience the forgiveness until there's reconciliation. And the reconciliation only comes through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. So you've got to come to a point where you crumble and fall at the feet of the Master and say, dear God, forgive me, I am a sinner. And Jesus Christ paid it all for my sins and was buried in the tomb, and He arose again from the grave, and there is no other plan of salvation but Jesus. And today, Lord, I accept Your Son as my Savior. And the moment that we are saved, the reconciliation takes place, and God the Father doesn't go, now let me tell you about all the things you did. Let me tell you, can I remind you about a few things you did in your past? When stuff like that stuff's conjuring up in your mind, that is straight from the pits of hell. That is the devil. That is not God reminding you. God says He will remember it against us no more. We have been reconciled. And that the past is the past. In fact, it's, I don't know how you'd say this, it's more than the past. It's disappeared. It's gone. You get a clean slate. You start over. And if you're here today and lost and outside of Christ, this is the day to start over with Jesus. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for our dads. With gratitude and respect to our fathers, we say thank You for giving them to us. Today, for those that are home with You, it has not changed the fact that we love them and are very grateful for the impact that they made in our lives. For the ones that are still with us, I pray that today we would not be in the least little bit shy to show the love and respect that we have for them, but that we might just heap it onto their life. But Father, as we look at these points this morning, and there's areas of our life that need to be corrected and touched by You, we pray that You'd have Your way in our life this morning. And we pray especially for that lost soul today that needs to know Christ as Savior. May this be the day, Lord, that they give their life to You and know what it is to be born again. For we pray and ask it in the name of Jesus.